Hi Aida, wenn ich morgens beim Yoga die Sonne grüße und sie abends mit einem Sundowner wieder verabschiede, wenn ich nur einmal packen muss, aber 5 Länder erleben kann, wenn ich jeden Tag an einem neuen Ort aufwache und mich dank dir trotzdem wie zu Hause fühle, dann kann ich uns kaum erwarten. Entdecke mehr auf aida.de oder in deinem Reisebüro.
What is step one?
Yeah, step one is often just holding each other. One of the techniques, I have these two techniques that come from one of my books. One of my most popular books is a book called Sexual Soulmates, because sexual soulmates are not out there waiting for you. You co-create your connection with your partner. And even if you've lost that connection, you can have many renaissance in your relationship throughout the years. You can come back together and it can be better than ever again. And there are two techniques out of that book that I think are kind of like a foundation. One of them is called the Sexual Soulmate Pact. And that pact is an agreement between partners where I can say anything I want to you and you're going to be happy I told you. And you're not going to take it as criticism or you did anything wrong. You're going to be hungry for me to tell you what I have an appetite for, what I want, how I'm feeling. Am I a kitty cat? Do you need to hold me in your arms? Do you need to pet me? Do you need to let me release and calm down and get some things off my chest? Do you just need to provide that holding? Or am I a lioness? Do I want you to ravish me? Do I want to be pounced on? I want you to carry me to the bedroom and throw me down on the bed and rip my clothes off and tell me how gorgeous I am and eat me up. We want those things in that range all the time. But what couples forget is to start with holding and being held. Because when we do that, we generate oxytocin. And the oxytocin is kind of like the antidote to all the cortisol we're pumping out constantly with the kids and the school and the stress and the job and the politics and the, you know, all this crazy stuff. We need to be held and to hold.
So step one then is have the conversation. And step two is to just hold, essentially, hold each other.
You don't even need to have a conversation. You can just go crawl into your partner's arms and say, and this is something that I love to teach men. I love to teach men how to run a woman a menu of small offers. So the problem is that they're both feeling, Eliza and her husband are likely both, they're dissatisfied, they feel disconnected.
They're not speaking about it.
They're not speaking about it. And she feels like we should be having sex, but we're not, right? It's the I should be having sex. What is sex? Intercourse. Well, she's not turned on. She hasn't had sex in God knows how long. She's not ready to be penetrated. She needs to get warmed up. You know, it's very, very slow, the female arousal system. And it takes 15, 20, 30 minutes when it's been a long time between lovemaking sessions to get out of your head, into your body, calmed down. Because arousal, it's not, I'm going to push your buttons and I'm going to spin your dials, which is what guys try to do. They're like, I've got a goal. I got to give her an orgasm. Let's go. I'm full speed ahead. Where in reality, it's, oh, I need to hold her. I need to grab her up in my big, muscly arms. And I need to just let her calm down and relax. Remember what she loved about you. And how much she loves you and how good you smell and how good you feel and how safe she feels right in this moment.
You used the word should. Should is such a...
What did I say?
Corrosive. When you were saying we should be having...
Right.
How much harm do you think should does? As in, when I say should, I really mean it's a social comparison. It's like an external comparison. I've watched this movie, I spoke to my friend, they're doing it this often, they're doing it like this, so we should be doing it like them. Mm-hmm. How much harm do you think that does?
Tons.
I've seen it in all my relationships. I've seen...
Guilt, guilt, guilt.
Yeah, like the comparison to other people who are just not you. Yeah. It can do so much harm. And I think in my current relationship, we've basically banned comparison. So we've banned each other speaking about our unmet needs through the lens of other people or our past relationships.
Good.
And I think it really helps.
Yeah.
You know?
I do too. I think that if Eliza stopped feeling guilty and said, okay, I'm just going to start small. And if she said to her husband, I just want to start small again. I just want to, let's crawl and then walk and then run back to lovemaking when we can. Let's acknowledge that we're in the time of our relationship when the kids make it really hard. Let's acknowledge that we want to have more intimacy together. And let's start with small offers. And then if he starts saying to her, how about Thursday night? I bring home some Chinese. We get the kids in the bath. We get them in bed. We divide and conquer. We put them down. I'll go in, take a quick shower. I'll set up the bedroom. I'll set up the nest. I'll light a candle. I'll lay out some fresh towels. I'll get your favorite lube. I'll put on the sexy playlist that you like. And all I want you to do is relax. There's no pressure to do anything. I won't be mad if we don't have intercourse. What I'm going to do is I'm going to hold you. I'm going to get my hands on you. I'm going to rub whatever hurts. I'm going to tell you how much I love you. I'm going to snuggle you. I might kiss you if you want to kiss me. We'll see how it goes. No pressure.
Why? Why no pressure?
Because if she has pressure, then she's going to feel stressed. And if she feels stressed, she can't get into arousal. As soon as you take the pressure off, and let her just see what happens, then her body will go into arousal and connection and feel safe and relaxed, and she'll start to let down and get that turn on going.
I guess the starting point then, as you said, is the communication part, right? Because that you can't even get to that point if you're in a situation. I've been in that situation once in my sexual history where it was so awkward that like it just gets, the awkwardness just compounds where you're not even speaking about something.
Yeah.
And so you're getting in bed. You're
it's
both
a hot
just
potato.
Kind of like laying in silence. Mm-hmm. And oh my God, he's thinking about it. And I'm thinking about it.
Right.
And
I hope you don't.
She's thinking about it. And yeah. I hope he doesn't ask me and I'll pretend to sleep and mm-hmm. all of that stuff. I've been there.
Yeah.
And really what broke it was the two things you said. The first thing was you got to talk about it. And the second thing was removing the pressure.
Right.
And the blame.
Yeah.
And the judgment.
Yeah.
And if you can get there, and I think much of the reason why people don't want to talk about it sometimes is because they might have a little bit of a risk that if they're honest about how they're feeling, then the person might leave, or they might be mad, or they might not hang around long enough for you to fix it together,
mm-hmm.
you know? And also you don't know how to fix it. So it's difficult sometimes in life to say, I've got a problem, but I have no idea what the solution is. You know?
Yeah. This is one of the reasons that I like erotic play dates so much.
What's that?
Erotic play dates are, so, all right, I've written hundreds of sex techniques. I've written dozens of communication skills. And what people really want, they don't necessarily just want a technique or a skill. They just want to have fun. They want erotic adventure. I just want to have fun having sex with you. I don't want it to be like, I'm going to be finding your, you know, G-spot or whatever. Like, that's fun. That's fun. That could be one of the things you want to do. That could be one of your erotic play dates. It's like, let's find our G-spot. Let's try this sex toy. Let's do a lingerie photo shoot. Let's have sex on the dining room table when the kids are away. Let's do whatever. When you start to think about your sexuality, not as, oh, we have to grab a boob and stick it in. We have to have intercourse. And when you move away from that and you take the pressure off, you have a lot more intercourse. Because you start having fun. You start trying things. And when you try things, you have new relationship energy. Sex is an equation. It is two things. Good sex is, half of it is safety and security. I trust this person. They're not going to give me STIs. You know, they're going to be fun. I like them. They smell good. They taste good. You know, they're going to be good to have sex with. But if you just have that, boring, you know, it's like that's the death knell for your sex life is when it's just safe. Boring. Sounds so boring. So variety, novelty, erotic adventures, erotic play dates, learning new things together. When you have this seat, this foundation of trust and safety, and good communication. I can say anything I want to you, and you're going to love me, and you're going to appreciate that I'm telling you what I need all the time. When you have that, and then you add all the novelty. Ooh, did you hear about that heated sex toy or that one that blows up in your vagina, inflates? What's that like? Or, oh, let's find your P-spot, or let's try this penis ring, or whatever it might be. Once you start doing those things, then not only that, but you have something to look forward to. You're like, okay, so one of the things that I like to offer people is understanding what's on your sex life bucket list. So what I did was I took 48 of my best sexy ideas and I made a sex life bucket list with all 48 of them. And then it's basically this little printout here. I'll just give you one.
For me?
Yeah.
Or for Tim?
Well, this is for you. So what's interesting about the sex life bucket list is that I give you a video and I give you a printout. And if you both do the printout and you watch the video and you go through and I tell you what all 48 ideas are, and then when you do that, you go, okay, well, these are my A's. I definitely want to do a lingerie photo shoot with you. My B's are, I mean, I'd find your P-spot with you and I'm happy to do it, but it wouldn't be like on my A list.
P-spot?
And your prostate, your oh. P-spot.
Is that up your bum?
Yeah, up your bum.
Okay.
And C's are, it's not for me right now. Never say never, because as you mature, if you think about your sexual development like your personal development, it's just one more thing you're learning, you get better and better and you increment your skills. And so what you used to look at it and go, why would anybody want to be spanked? Now you're like, oh my God, I want to be spanked.